in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. We're going to cover a piece of Scripture again, then we'll give you the thought that the Lord has on our heart this morning. Hebrews chapter number 1. If you're there, somebody say amen. I like the way Hebrews starts out. By the way, it's capital God. Glad He's not a little God. He's the only God. He said, God who at sundry times or different times and in different or diver manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Well, aren't you glad He gave our forefathers a word? But He said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His capital Son. By the way, He thinks a lot about His Son. You know, He must have thought a lot of us to give us His Son. Now, I love y'all this morning. Look up here. I do. I'm just an old country preacher, but I love you. I love you. In spite of the way some of you act, I love you anyhow. But I don't know if I'd give my child for every one of you. But He did. And He said, in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Boy, this is some more word, is it not? When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You may be seated this morning. Now, if you would turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter number 4. We've been talking about from our text that we've read on making much of Christ. Oh, how we need to make much of Him. Can I encourage every singer that ever stand to sing, may it be all about Him. May I encourage every preacher that ever stand and preach a sermon, may it always be centered around Him. Can I tell you, when we come to church as a Christian, we ought not be coming to see who's a driving what or who's a wearing what, but it ought to be all about Him. And if we could just get things off of us and go to focusing and being fascinated about Him, it sure would help us. A lot of people, they've lost the focus of Him. They've lost the freshness of Him. Boy, they've lost the fire of Him. Jeremiah said, I wanted to quit and throw the towel in. But he said, I got a problem. There's a fire burning in my heart. So today we've talked a couple of Sundays back about Jesus, the doorway to glory. Aren't you glad that in that ark that God sent Noah in, it was one door? God had charge of that door. Noah had charge of the window. You can talk anytime you want to him. But honey, I'm glad when he put you in this thing and he shut you in, you're in till he lets you out again. And so then we've seen that not only is Christ the doorway to glory, but we've seen last week that Christ is the doctor. He's just not some doctor. Amen. He can handle a back problem. Can somebody help me preach a little while this morning? Oh, He can help a blind problem. Aren't you glad that He took dirt and spit in it and rubbed it in your face? And you're never going to go wash till He puts your face into what you're doing. Boy, I'm glad one day He rubbed that dirt in my face. All that bad stuff I was doing, I got tired of it because He rubbed it in my face. God, I could preach on that again this morning. And so Christ is the door and Christ is the doctor. But this morning out of John 4, I won't preach on Jesus is the drink of water. Boy, I'm glad He's just not any old water.
But oh, He is the Lord of glory. Now in John 4, the Bible said in verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard and that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, He sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me to drink. His disciples was gone away to the city to buy meat. By the way, they bought, they didn't beg. Somebody say amen. Well, look out, a rabbit got up. I love fried rabbit. Somebody shout right there. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou just knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to you, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him. By the way, it's just an ask away. And He would have given thee living water. Boy, the only thing between the sinner and God is asking. Amen. The woman said unto Him, boy, she addressed this right. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. And sir, the well's deep. Oh Lord, I'm going somewhere. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, you put your name right there. I like it. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. I love this insert. But, I like this, whosoever, don't forget that in your Bible, whosoever, that's the beggar, that's the blind man, that's the man that's not your color nor my color, that's the poor, that's the rich, that's the lovable and the unlovable. Whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. Look here, Brother Vince. Spring it up into everlasting life. Woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said, go call your husband, come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you got that right. Thou hast well said, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now saidest not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. Then you'll notice in verse number 28, a few minutes down the road, I'll get there in a minute, but I do want to read it in case I skip over it. The woman then left her water pot and went her way in the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to Him. Father, I need Your touch this morning. Dear God, I realize that Without you, nothing happens. And Lord, ever how you want to preach this sermon, I just pray you'll preach it and you'll make it real here this morning. Would you save a sinner? Would you hide me behind the cross and give me power this morning? Oh, would you convict hearts like only you can? Thank you for our church. Thank you for the Word of God that you so abundantly bestowed upon us. Thank you for your love and mercy. In Christ's name, amen. Jesus, the drink of water. First of all, I want to say, note the travels of the wearied Savior. Travels of the wearied Savior. You'll notice the Bible said in verse 6, Jesus being wearied with His journey. Has anybody ever been wearied in the journey? Jesus was wearied in the journey, but He was not wearied of His journey. Big difference. A lot of times we get tired and we get weary. But I'm going to tell you, here we see Him as the God-man. We see that Jesus took upon Him the robes of flesh and became man. That amazes me. And here we see Him in His human attributes. He became weary and He sat on the well. But isn't it something here about our Jesus? We find Him as God-man. We find out that He knowed what this woman was doing when nobody else knowed what she was a-doing. Can I tell you, the same Jesus that laid down in the boat as man and went to sleep, we find Him as God-man when the disciples run to Him and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves and He said, "Peace, be still." He's still the God-man this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ. The travels of the wearied Savior. First of all, you'll note in verse 1, the people that hated Him said the Pharisees heard Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. That reminds me of a lot of Baptist Pharisees. They get upset when your church building gets full and they think you've compromised to draw a big crowd. But really it's just jealousy and animosity between the Pharisees. They got upset when they found out they was outnumbered. And so that's the way a lot of religions are. A lot of people really don't care if you die and go to hell. They just want you on the roll. You hear me this morning? They just want your money. They just want you to be there for influence. But honey, the God of glory, He's in the soul business this morning. I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it. There's a Lamb of glory that knows you more than a number this morning. He knows your name, friend. Oh, we see the travels of a wearied Savior, the people that hated Him. Matter of fact, the Bible said in John's Gospel that He, in verse number, or chapter 1, verse 11, He came to His own and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on His name. People that hated Him. But in verse 3, there's the places that hounded Him. Have you ever been hounded because you're a Christian? You can get used to it. If you're going to live for the Lord Jesus, people's going to hound you. Now, is that really real, what you got? Why, now, you know, you're just an imposter. You're really not a Christian. I mean, you just are doing this and doing that to be seen. Oh, people are hounding. Isn't it amazing how not many people will certainly try to encourage you for being a Christian? Most folk will try to pull you down where they are to make themselves feel better. But honey, I'm going to tell you, the Lamb of Glory, you'll see that the hounds of hell was on His trail everywhere He went. And let me tell you, if the devil's applauding you about what you're doing, I'd check up and see if I was doing right this morning. Boy, Brother Dennis, it lets me know. I like what Brother Dennis texted me this week. He said, I'm keeping my devil busy. Thank God, honey. I'm glad I keep a few devils busy. That just lets me know He ain't got me. If He's sending you a card of flyers on Monday morning and a big box of chocolate and telling you good job, you better check up, honey. Let me tell you, the hounds are real and they'll get on your trail and they'll bark and they'll weary you. But thank God, greater is He that is in you. Somebody help me preach this morning. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord Jesus suffered persecution. We're going to suffer persecution for being a Christian. The people, the places. But notice verse 4. Not only the people that hated Him and the places that hounded Him, there was a plan that hailed Him. In verse number 4, He said He must needs go through Samaria. Boy, I'm going to tell you, there was a plan that hailed the Son of God. He was on a mission. He had to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. Aren't you glad He didn't sit down and throw the towel in? Amen. Miss Sherry, thank you for not sitting down and throwing the towel in. Brother David, Brother Tim, thank you for not sitting down, throwing the towel in. Miss Faith, thank you for not sitting down, throwing the towel in. Anybody can throw the towel in. There was a plan that held it. Thank God they something holding us in the road this morning. And it's not sight, friend. Quit looking around. People will let you down. It's what the God of glory has done spoke in your spirit and in your soul that's going to keep you going and motivated for the glory of God. Oh, the plan that held Him. He must go. And then the priority that hastened Him. Look in John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they that are white are already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both that he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. What a day. I'm talking about, friend, you'll find this text, there was a priority that hastened Him. There are priorities in life. Some of you need to get your priorities straightened out. God ought to be the first priority. Now listen, are we at a fellowship this morning? Or are we at a church house? Would somebody help me preach a little bit? Priorities get mixed up and then you get messed up when your priorities get out of balance. Jesus ought to be the first priority. Young girls, He ought to be first priority on your date life. Young boys, He ought to be your first priority on the wife that you marry. I give you boys some good advice. Just do like Adam. Go to sleep, let God send you one. That's good preaching. A lot of you boys, you're shaking every bush and looking under every tree. You better be careful. Better be careful. And boy, the priority that hastened Him. We all got a priority. And honey, Jesus is coming. And we got some family members that ain't going. And it ought to burden our heart. We ought to be first on this priority. It's about sinners. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't caught up in buildings. He's caught up in sinners. Don't mess up the building now. Grandpa built that building and Grandma built that building. And don't mess with the building, honey. Jesus ain't caught up in buildings and He ain't caught up with you. He's caught up with sinners. He loves sinners. Thank God He loves sinners. You have my seat. You can have my parking spot. Let me tell you, I'm just glad you're here today. Thank God. Jesus loves sinners.
Oh, don't spend our money, preacher.
Well, if that's your money, put it back in your pocketbook.
Don't mess with my pew, preacher.
Oh, is your name on the end of something around here?
Don't mess with my pew, preacher.
Don't mess with my stained glass. Will somebody take them home with you so we can do what the God of glory wants to do at this place?
My parking spot is so special.
I hope so many sinners wrap this place up. You got to park plumb down yonder at the Rite Aid drugstore and get shuttle buses to come in to Liberty Baptist Church. Jesus come to save sinners, and we see the priority that hastened Him. Boy, we get so comfortable in what we do in just our little club. Matter of fact, some of you need to scatter out. Quit sitting with some of them scallywags. Your little cliques and clacks, you go to getting in your little group. Little groups. And then one of you get mad, you take four pews out. You ought to scatter out. And if you want to leave, just leave by yourself. I said, if you're going to leave, just hit the road by yourself.
Oh, well, y'all need some good preaching.
Me and my four and no more.
Don't mess with me, preacher.
Don't mess with Jesus. He going to get the last say. The travels of a weary Savior. Number two, look at the trip of a wandering Samaritan. She just wandering around, minding her own. But ain't that just like Jesus, a setup? I mean, ain't it amazing? She just going about the daily grind, just doing things like she's always done. And it's amazing the way the Lord loves us in spite of what we is doing. Nobody never loved me like Jesus. Turn around and tell people about it and say, I love you. Turn around and tell them, say, I love you. This, I want you to tell them that. And if you don't mean it, I want you to run and put your head in the altar. Some of y'all didn't do it. What's the matter? You got an issue? Hey, let me tell you, friend, in spite of me and in spite of you, He loved us and went to the cross of Calvary and died for all of us. Now we see this trip of the wandering Samaritan, verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Now, first of all, there's a definite problem. In verse number 7, she's a Samaritan. She's an outcast. She's a mixed race. You see, she had been mixed from Jews to the Syrians, the Babylonians, and them Jews was walking around in their nice little robes and their phylacteries and saying, look at me, we're the higher race. I mean, we better than anybody. Boy, look at these duds, what I got on. Ain't they nice? And nobody else can wear what I wear, so you can't be in my little club. Can't nobody else drive what I drive, so you can't be in my little club. Nobody else makes my income, so you can't be in my little club. Can I tell you, Liberty Baptist Church, it does matter what's over the doorway of the church house. Come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross this morning. They was like some Baptist women I know. Somebody give me a pocketbook. Somebody give me that pocketbook. That matches my outfit. I'm not going to look in it. If it was to come a thunderstorm, she'd drown. I don't like this church. Music's too loud. I don't like this church. They don't vote on nothing. Oh, don't get flat on me now. Oh, I don't like this church. They just let old sinners go there. Why, you know we're the upper crust crowd. Something about upper crust, I always throw that away. I like what's down there in the middle of that pie. Somebody save me right there. Honey, you bring me a blueberry pie. I ain't a bragging on your crust. I want what's on the inside of that crust. Oh, upper crust. You know, I'm in the Coach Pocketbook Club. My pocketbook's got Coach wrote on it. My suit's got Hart Sheffer Mart wrote in it. They don't make them down at the Bowden sewing plant. I wear wing tip, praise God, foot joy golf shoes. But you don't wear them, you ain't in my club. I live in the big old house out there, but I'm so miserable I'm about to die. I drive a nice car and they may come get it in the morning. I love them new repo shows. True TV. I like them rednecks. Lizard Lick. I like it. Some of y'all need to be a watching the shows I'm a watch, and it'll help you. Y'all love it when he pulls up to them princesses' house. What y'all doing? You ain't paid your bill. That stuff makes God sick. Tell you what you better do this morning. The clothes you got on, you better raise your little old hand and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you. Thank you. You've given me a church I can come and be accepted. Thank you, Lord. I've come to a church and there's not a tape measure at the door about how long my hair's got to be. How long my dress has got to be. And we ought to dress godly. You young girls ought to wear more a dress than it takes to clean a shotgun barrel. Somebody go and say amen right there. But honey, let me tell you, you give me some old Lee Weisners. You give me some old Tommies and some old Brother Gerald's and some Brother Chris and some Brother Ricky's. You give me some Brother Wendell's used to live out of a liquor bottle. God come by and saved him. You give me some old boys like Brother Mac hung out in the pool room. You give me some old boys like Brother David's done some things that he ain't real proud of this morning. Honey, there's a God of glory to help you where you go to church. You just realize there's none good, no, not one. And oh, we was all Samaritans. We were all Gentile dogs. And we all ought to be in hell this morning. But the grace and the love and the mercy of the lovely one come to where we was and saved us from our sins. What a Savior. People in my wife's family, one time, they didn't show me the love of Christ, I'll be honest. They found out the things I was doing. Brother Dennis, Brother Matt, 30 years ago, they said, send him back to where you found him, and she probably ought to have. Honey, let me tell you, there's a God of glory walked my life one day. Just an old Gentile, no. And saved me. Trip of a wandering Samaritan. We see her definite problem. She is an outcast. She is a mixed race. We see her distinct path in verse 7. Guess what? The Savior was waiting on her. Then we see a divine place, a place where He had sat down. On the well, Liberty Baptist Church, you just better thank the God of glory. We've got a place where He sits on the well. Some places He don't stay around long. I sure am glad He's made home at Liberty Baptist Church. It is a divine place. Then verse 9, there's a devoted person. Look what he said. Then saith the woman, how is it thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with a Samaritan. A devoted person, how is it? In other words, she said, how is it that you're talking with me? Aren't you glad somebody talked with you about the Lord? How is it? How could this be? She said, ain't nobody never cared for me like this. You know what really is detrimental to church is church people. Listen to me. Sinners ain't never killed a church outside. A drunk ain't never closed a church. People acting churchy inside. How could you talk to me? Everybody else looks down at me. But you care about me. Can I tell you, He cares about you. You see, there's the travels of a wearied Savior. There's the trip of a wandering Samaritan. But in verse 10, notice the truth of a wonderful salvation. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that said to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The subject of the water, verse 10. I want to tell you about this water. There is an inability in making. You can't produce water. Can't make water. You let me tell you, all the scientists of the day can't get a hold of what's in that bottle right there. They can make that plastic. But they've yet to come up with a way to make what's in it. It's inability in making. And I won't say it's indispensable to man. Without it, you'll die. And without this thing of salvation, you'll die and go to hell in your sin. And I want to say it's indescribable in its mention. You just can't tell nobody how good it is when you're really genuinely starving to death for thirst. That's wonderful. But you know, you'll never know till you drink it. We see this truth of a wonderful salvation, the subject of water. But then verse 14, look at the subject of the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I will say it's a dug well. He dug it at Calvary. It's a deep well. Can I tell you that it goes deeper than your sin do this morning? Brother Lager said something today. Boy, you know you're in a real church when you got men called Lager. I couldn't more tell you his real first name than nothing right now. But it's a blessing. He said, you know what? He said, Daddy come by and said, I didn't owe him nothing no more. Aren't you glad that well's deep? Wouldn't that have been something, Brother Lee, when you got saved and water come out, and Brother Tommy got saved, and Brother Gerald, and Brother Gerald, and Brother Ricky, and Brother Wendell, and the time that I needed to get to it is dry, but it's deep. Brother Troy, ain't you glad you got in it one day? It's dug, it's deep, and it's dependable. Brother Jason, I remember in that big drought a couple years ago, his well went dry. Other families in our church, the well went dry. Let me tell you, not this well. There's an unlimited supply. I'm glad that He has grace in this well. Mercy in this well. Now watch what He does, and I close. There is the truth of a wonderful salvation. There's the subject of water. There's the subject of the well. And then there's the subject of wickedness. Look in verse 15. Jesus is telling her all about it. And the woman said to Him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now here's a loaded verse in 16. It's short, but it's loaded. Stay with me. I'll be done. Well, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come hither. Now in this same verse, He said, go, but come. He brought conviction, but then He shared compassion. See, she thought she was hiding something. But Jesus brought it up to her about her wickedness. You know, if Jesus had a problem with shacking up, we ought to have a problem with shacking up. Preacher, you can't build a church with the way you're preaching now. Let me tell you something. This ain't a nightclub. This is the house of God where Christians supposed to react at the Word of God. He brought conviction, but He showed compassion. And let me tell you something, that's where we ought to be this morning. See, Jesus brought her sin up to her and convicted her. Let me tell you something. You're never going to get saved till you are convicted of your sins. That's what we need in our church is old-time convictions. But aren't you glad He showed compassion? The woman answered, said, I have no husband. She's trying to... Now watch this now. In verse 17, there's a covering up. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Boy, it's just like us, isn't it? Jesus will tell us something right in our face that's wrong, and we try to sidetrack and change the conversation. Matter of fact, she tried to change it. So she got to talking about worship. Jesus said, no, you're not going to sidetrack me. You ain't sidetracking me. Let's stay with the thought. Let's stay with the truth. Hon, you need to be saved. You know, that's the truth and the story of it. Let me share if you could. I mean, that's at brass tacks at the end of the day. It's not about how good you are. It's about how wicked we are. And you see, in her covering, it turned to a confession.
Verse 18, thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly? The woman says, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Then we find in this confession, we see a conversion. In verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah has come, which is called Christ. When he's come, he'll tell us all things. Jesus said to her, hon, the one been talking to you is him. Said, it's me. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he had talked with a woman. Verse 28, the woman left her water pot, went her way to the city, and saith to the men. You know what she done, Brother Lee? She went back to that crowd she was running with. And that's why she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The travels of a wearied Savior. He went the last mile for you. The trip of a wandering Samaritan. That's just like me and you. God is already at a place where He was to meet us. There's a truth of a wonderful salvation. There's nothing like being saved. But lastly, there's the testifying words of a saved woman. She went back, she said, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? I love this. Then they went out of the city, Brother Jerry, came unto him. That's the total plan of the gospel, what I've read to you this morning. Jesus died for sinners. In spite of what we is doing, He knows about every bit of it. But He can save you and forgive you of your past. And then when He saves us, we go back to that old crowd we was running with, them old friends, and we say, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Last week, we had two come by faith and receive Christ. I wonder this morning, I know a lot of preachers try to force things, and I'm not one of those going to try to force nothing. I just want to tell you the truth. He died for you. And you're troubled in your heart. You're troubled about it. Well, why don't you forget about everything and everybody and just come see a man that told me all things that ever I did and receive Him as the Christ of your life, as the Lord of your life, and follow Him by faith. The Bible said we're saved by grace through faith. What's He mean by that? Grace is Him reaching to us. Him sitting at the well and talking to us. Faith is our part. Said He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Would you access that faith? Young person, young boy, listen to me. Jesus will save you if you'll come to Him. Young lady, Jesus will save you if you'll come. Ma'am, I don't care how troubled you are. Jesus can do a work in your life. Sir, He loves you. This is real. He cares and He loves you. And we're going to sing a song, and I want to stand up.